Hello.
Hi.
Whoa, it's hot today, and it's gonna get hotter. I'm so good at predicting hot weather.
You'd be a weather person.
No, are you kidding? I have problems watching the weather girl on TV channels.
Anyone in particular?
No, they all have to dress up like they're going out for the night or something, instead of telling us what the weather is.
Well, like I can, I guess it'd be less distracting if they were wearing like t-shirts and stuff.
Probably like that.
Hi everyone, can you hear me?
Sure.
Oh, hi. Oh,
Hello.
sorry. Yeah. Having problem with my headset.
Nadia, this is Val Little. Did you send me an agenda? I can't find a copy of the agenda.
I believe so. Let me.
I probably got lost in my emails. Could you send me an email again with the
Yes.
agenda?
Yes, absolutely. I am sending it right now.
Thank you so much. Sorry to be a
Of
pain.
course. No worries. Let's see. Chris, Carlos still in the meeting with the mayor right now. So probably we'll have Isaac to start first. You first and then Isaac. That's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, and I'm number two chairpersons. And then if we have to wait for Carlos and we can move on to the financial monthly report, or is okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gabriel. Okay. Who else? Is Trevor showing up? We can't hear you.
Yeah, Brittany, you're muted.
I didn't get a message stating otherwise.
Okay, so usually Trevor's good about showing up. And Doug, did you hear from Doug? No. And Hallie. Well, since Carlos is, oh,
Doug,
there's
Trevor,
Margot. Okay. Okay.
we're saved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Trevor's here.
There he is.
Oh. Okay. It's 4:06, and I'd like to call the Environmental Services Advisory Committee to order. It's May 14th, and item one, roll call. Let's go down the list. Margo Garcia,
Here.
Hallie Hughes, it's absent. Doug Jennings,
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter,
Here.
Brett Ariza,
Here.
Holly Parks,
Here.
Chuck Gray,
Here.
and Chris Yarder present. Okay, quickly moving on to item two. I just want to mention if you know anybody that's interested in joining ESAC, I have a nice little letter that I send council members to remind them that they really do need to appoint someone to ESAC. So I'm calling out a few of them, but I'm really nice about it. And so anyhow, you don't have to live in the ward to be nominated to be on a BCC. So if you know anybody that might be interested in want to join us? That'd
You
be great.
didn't need to live in the city.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Chris, this is Val Little. I'm hoping to join, and I've talked to Tim a couple of times, and I'm not clear about where the vacancy is. Is it like CWAC, where Tim has seven
What?
people he can appoint, and each ward
Yes.
has one? Is it that same makeup
Yeah,
as?
it's the ward mayor, and then it's the mayor, and then the city manager has
Okay. Do
an
you happen to
appointment.
know where the vacancies are?
It's gonna be Ward One,
Okay. Ward one,
Ward
ward three, ward
Three
four.
and Four. Yeah.
That's the same thing as CWAC. They're not very good about appointing people. Anyway, I'll see what I can do to try to get on.
Ward
Okay.
four.
Do you live in one of those wards?
I live in six.
Okay. Okay. But I mean, you could just go talk to the council members and say that you're interested. So, or give them a call. That'd be great. Okay.
Thanks.
Moving on to bylaws. I know you guys all did your homework. So, we needed, of course, to update the two ordinances, the one that was adopted August 8th, 2023, and the recent one that was adopted March 18, 2025. So what we're looking at is, changes for the terms of the members, and let's see. Oh, and then the one is how we do quorum, because it was really miserable the old way. We actually did have to miss some meetings. So that's in there. I don't know if anybody else has
No.
gone through it and thought you wanted to add something. I had three different versions of Robert's rules for small boards and committees that Brittany sent to the city attorney, and they're still working on it, right? Looking at our.
No, we sent out the draft, and the solution was to change the verbiage to the most current rule, Robert Rules of Order.
Yeah, that was what was in the document.
12.
That's what's in the document. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so
But
they
we
don't
didn't
specify an addition or a
exactly. So we
whatever.
don't
It's a
specify it. It just states the most current Robert Rules of Order.
right.
The other changes we did was we changed the quorum requirement. So
Right.
it now reflects appropriately to the ordinance that was changed. And then the term restriction is not verbalized in the bylaws, but it links out to the chapter code section so and so, which then in the chapter code, thank you, Nadia, for sharing. In that specific section of the chapter code, ESAC is li listed as one of the exceptions for the 8-year term limitation.
So where is that in the
In the bylaws,
Yeah.
Nadia, do you have that on your? I know we were just had
Yeah, I
that
have
pulled
it
up.
here. Yeah, I can share that with you guys.
There
One
were the
sec.
two ordinances. Yeah.
There's adding two ordinances.
Or yeah, the first one.
Well, it's not. And once Nadia pulls up the bylaws,
Yeah.
we'll go through
Hang
it.
on. One second. Still looking.
There. Okay.
Is it higher up?
The first page of the bylaws,
Oh,
code of
right here.
composition.
Is C, it's
Oh.
right above.
So page
Yeah.
two,
Well,
number C.
yeah, the term of the members. Okay.
Is in coordinate or in of
Okay, oh,
city
there it is.
code section so and so. And like I said, when you link that out, Nadia shared the screen. It ESAC is one of the exceptions of that 8-year term.
Okay.
Right.
And I worked with the city manager on that because we never get up to 13 members. this is a kind of committee where you just have to learn a lot about what's going on in environmental services, and it's just a shame to tell someone after 8 years to, oh, you have to step down when we didn't have anyone to replace that person. So that was a generous help from the city manager. And then same with the quorum. That was we always battled the quorum because it was always based on the 13 members. So
And he changed the verbiage in that portion of the bylaws.
Steve Kozacek worked on that too.
Yeah, we were I well
Anyway,
yeah, I bugged him about that too. Yeah.
Anyway, so do we need to approve these new ones? Is that what yours? These updated ones, do we need to make a motion to approve them?
I yeah, well, you guys didn't make a motion to approve it last time because you wanted to see the changes. So no motion was made last time.
Okay, well, I'll move that we accept these. I've read them over and I think the things that you've done are correct.
Second.
Okay. And let we do we need to accept them with perhaps some corrections? Are you gonna get What are you going to get from the city attorney's office?
She already said it was, they did
That
it
was that
by
Word draft that Nadia had up.
the most current edition of
Oh,
Robert's
I didn't
Rules.
know that that came from the city attorney. Okay. Because we were waiting for that for a long time.
Right.
Okay.
So
I
what
didn't
Nadia
know.
sent out, that Word draft is what was worked. I worked with the city attorney's office for the correct
Language.
terminology.
What it says in the one I got is Rule C, Robert's Rule of Order, newly revised 11th edition.
It should be 12.
So Nadia sent what it is today. So the PDF document is what the current bylaws is, and then she sent another email that had a Word document.
No,
So the Word
I don't know that.
actually is in the same email,
Oh,
but
okay.
I send both at the same time, the draft and then the previous
So the Word
bylaws.
document is the draft document that came
From the
from
city
the city
attorney?
attorney's office. So we
Okay.
gave you
Okay.
just so
Okay,
you saw.
so we got a
No, I don't work in
motion, okay?
that one.
A motion to accept. And we don't really need a second, but if somebody wants to second it, that's fine.
It was seconded.
Somebody
Oh.
did, Doug,
Oh,
I
I
think.
didn't hear.
Fred.
I did.
All
Oh,
yeah.
it's okay, sorry.
Okay, so all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? No. Motion passes.
Good. And it says on the bottom of mine, revised May 14th. So that would be the one that has all those revisions in it.
Is a word.
I guess I guess I didn't see that when I was looking at all the documents. Did you send that in the first email or the second?
Nadia,
First email.
yeah, Nadia corrected me. It was
Okay.
just every all the
Okay.
backups were sent in one document.
Okay. I just didn't get a heads up. So, okay. We'll skip. Let's see, item three for the director's report. Wait for Carlos, and we'll get some information from Isaac on the financial monthly report.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Let me share my screen. Actually, it's disabled for me. If you could.
Yeah, Nadia, can you make
Yes, I already did. Should good to go.
Thank you. Now it's just user error, but we'll get there. And I think you could see the reports now. If is that correct? We're good?
Yes.
Okay.
So you start with 502. Okay.
Yes. Starting with the Fund 502, as of April 30th, 2026, pulled on 5/12/2026. You'll note in this report, and excuse me, I'll kind of go line by line. But the forecast was updated on virtually every line on this report. And so we'll see, you'll note that the revenues have increased, or rather have changed. For residential revenues, on all these, the first stab at it or line of attack was to do a straight line from April, and then straight line that out to the end of the year, and then that is how we largely arrived at the forecasted figures. There were a couple that, especially when we get into capital and capital projects and capital outlay and the expense side, where that's not necessarily true, where we know what we're expecting to pay by the end of the year. But for the purposes of the revenues, starting with residential revenues, we are looking to exceed what we had budgeted. That is also true of commercial and landfill. And I'm looking at the 2026 revised budget versus the last column, which is the FY 2026 forecast. In some of the categories, like residential, we're looking to exceed by almost $1 million. Forecasted it over revised budget. In other sections, like commercial, we're going to come in really close to what we had budgeted. Commercial is one of those examples. Landfill service charge, we're also forecasting to exceed by nearly $1 million, the revenues that we had budgeted. Ground remediation fee, excuse me. We're also looking to come in right around what we had budgeted. There are a couple where we are projecting to come in lower than what we had budgeted, the self-haul fee for revenues being one of those, and actually being the only one, the only category where we are expecting to see revenues under what we had projected. All in all, our total revenues, we're projecting that we'll be around 2.5, a little bit more than 2.5 over what we had budgeted. And then we move on to the expenditure side. So that was from this 75.6 versus this projected 78.4, almost 78.5, where I'm getting that rough 2.5. Let me stop there and see if anyone has any questions on that. Okay.
I just now saw your pointer. Can you make it a
Sorry.
different color? There, thanks.
You know what? I think, let me see if I can.
Because it was gray. I
Let
just
me
saw it move.
let's see. Is there a way to do? I know some of the.
Yeah, on the top there should be presenter
There we go.
options and you can, oh, a red orb. There you go.
There you go.
Is this better? Which one's more noticeable, the arrow or the laser pointer?
The red orb, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Red works. It's
Sorry
like a
about that.
bouncing ball.
Yeah, right. And I'll be more organized this way as well. So those are our revenues
So,
for fiscal year
Isaac,
26. Yes,
quick
sir.
question. Sorry, on this, am I reading the table right? It looks like we're maybe the forecast is 3 million higher than the revised. Is that correct? Or you said, I thought you said 1.5 or something.
2.5. I would,
2.5. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
roughly, right? Rough number.
Perfect. Okay, that's more in line with what I see there. Thank you.
Okay.
I thought
Sure
I was
thing.
losing my mind. All right, thanks.
If someone's losing their mind, I assure you it's me. So,
We'll
but
cut you some slack.
thank you. I appreciate that. And then, as far as the expenses are concerned, at these categorization of them, same thing as last time, but for the good of the order, We budgeted in FY26 the 23 point almost three sorry 23.2 million dollars. We're looking to come in under that nearly by 1.2 million dollars. And that's due to the vacancies, which is something that we again are always looking to combat, if you will. On that note, I don't know if y'all have tuned into any of the recent mayor and council meetings, but one of the tools that our city manager is giving the departments to manage the budget is self-control or self-direction as far as managing those vacancies. So that is something that we'll keep an eye on. We always keep an eye on as that is a large mover of the needle when it comes to this and most departments in the city, the personnel costs. But that is also a mechanism that the departments are expected to use to ensure that they come in at or under budget for next fiscal year. Commodities, similarly, we're looking to come in under. Contractual services will be right basically on the nose on with. And then one of the areas where we will exceed what we had budgeted is capital outlay. I think it's better reflect or it's reflected in a different way in the other report that is generated for this committee, but capital outlay largely is the replacement equipment and vehicles. And the I like those are the vehicles that essentially had been backlogged and we are now receiving and thus paying for. And so we saw a large uptick over the last couple of years in what we have been paying for replacement vehicles. All of that being said, the cost of service report also has a schedule in it for the replacement vehicle schedule, excuse me. And that schedule outlines how many vehicles we are expecting to replace any given year, starting with next fiscal year. And that number for fiscal year 27 will be at or around $13 million. Again, we're still trying to finalize that catch up, or rather, this isn't catch up anymore. Let me take that back and revise what I said. So the replacement schedule is something that we've needed to really take a look at, and the timing of those expenses is also something that we are being more conscious of. And what I mean by that is some of the equipment, especially the larger equipment, but this equipment that we're talking about in general, have large lead times. And so when we budget $13 million next fiscal year, if we put the order in July 1, if it has a 13-month lead time, we're not going to see any of those expenses, right? That makes sense. So what we're trying to do is more closely align the placement, the notice to proceed with when the expenditures are going to post and where we're budgeting those expenditures. All this to say, next year that number is up to $13 million. It's in alignment with the replacement schedule and the cost of service report. And that is one of the areas we've been focusing on. The other one is the capital projects. That 2.85 is bifusion, and then the gas extraction wells, which we are starting to see more invoices come in for, and the bifusion is basically at its completion. And then we see debt services and principal interest. Those are expenses that we will see hit at the end of June. The other than the interests on long-term leases and the principal on long-term leases, what we see there really are is the debt service that we have. And so those are numbers that are known and are published in our debt schedule, debt book. And so we will see those posting here in the next at the end of next month. All in all, so that's 7.2 versus 73.6. I should speak on this as well. One of the reasons we were greenlit to exceed our budget in capital outlay to push those the there was an additional purchase of equipment over at Los Reales landfill, even knowing that we were still receiving some of the equipment from prior year's orders and this year's order as well. One of the reasons that we were greenlit on exceeding that budget was because we also knew that we could, this dial is a dial that we could turn, and also just seeing where our invoicing was landing, and our expenses were projected to land, we knew that we were not going to utilize the full $9.2 million for capital projects. That was near mid-year that we were given that green light, and so now we're at that 10.7 over the $6 million by design, or not by design rather, but with permission. And so we had budgeted $73.6 million, and we are looking to end the year at somewhere around $70.2 million, which will have
Wait, oh, what'd you say again? Where are you?
right here at the very bottom. I don't know if you can see it well.
Okay, got
Here
it. Okay.
in the gray,
Yeah.
fiscal year 26 budget was at $73.6 million. Right now we're projecting to end somewhere around $70.2 million. And taking our revenue and our expenditures into consideration, we're looking to increase our fund balance by around $8 million this fiscal year. So all in all, we're looking healthy. We'll be continue to continue to con sorry, continuing to contribute to our fund balance. And then the thought is, in the conversations that we've had in this committee and as a department as well, as again, since we had to dial back capital projects at one point in time to kind of move that dial in on what projects at what point in time, so that we ensure that we're utilizing the right amount of our fund balance on any given year.
So, Isaac, this is Chuck. Can I ask a quick question or two?
Absolutely, Chuck.
Yeah. So, what happens at the end of the year? Does this, at the end of the fiscal year, if the surplus is $8.1 million, does that just kind of roll forward into next fiscal year? How does that work from an accounting perspective?
Yeah, so we don't necessarily get additional budget
Money
capacity,
next
and
year.
yes and no, right? So we don't get additional budget capacity. What we should probably do either at next month's meeting, or if not, since there won't be too much meat in way of actuals at July's meeting, is really go over the budget for that fiscal year. But sometime soon, we'll go over that budget and our budget capacity, both on the revenue and the expenditure side, did increase. So we have budget capacity to do the replacements in alignment with that the replacement schedule that we have in the cost of service report, as well as some degree, a large degree of the capital projects that we have listed. And what we're trying to really work out is when do we green light what project into at what pace, right? So that again, we're taking in these dollars and not exceeding what we have in fund balance. So that's the other part of the answer, is it rolls into fund balance. And part of the reason why Central is willing to say go ahead with the order of this other piece of equipment is because we have dollars in our fund balance, dollars in reserve, kind of, if you will. We have to make sure that we're taking care of our long-term liabilities, and as those are met, then we know that we have basically that working capital in our favor. So it rolls over in fund balance. We don't get additional budget capacity, but we have more budget capacity next year because we have fund balance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and is I know with the issue Carlos has discussed a couple times with that, I don't know if it's a notice of violation or whatever with the EPA, and there might be some remediation. Is that if would that come out of capital projects going forward, whatever investments need to be made to remediate that, or do we know?
At least in part, yes. So when I say the gas extraction pumps and such, that is a method through which we remediate this, right? And so in that way, that's built in as one of our capital projects. And so the answer is yes. There is, I think, 2.75 budgeted next fiscal year for that specific capital project for wells and gas extraction. So yes, it is in our capital project. And yes, that because every and yes, it will be coming out of that fund balance.
Okay, I'm just want to make sure I understand. That's fine.
But
Thank you.
also, when we talk about long-term exposure, some of it is going to our closure fund, which is for closure and post-closure. We have to maintain the landfills for 20 years afterwards. And so we're
Right.
putting money aside every time we see that 8 million like that. Probably half of it goes into that fund, building it up to a point where when there's no money coming in, there will still be money to take care of the landfills.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions on this particular view of the financials? And then our expenses more programmatically. This is, we arrive at the same numbers, and you kind of, in this view, see where some of those capital expenditures live, and also how and why and where we exceeded our budget. When we do this side of or this type of view, our capital outlay, the replacement of vehicles, does come with an assigned area. And so we didn't necessarily, or here, let me go back to this and let me get the spotlight again. So this was that large in the one place where we saw more being spent than what was budgeted, right, for capital outlay. And when I come over to this other view of the same information, the areas that received those that equipment is where we see the expenses, the projected expenses exceeding the budgeted expenses. Los Reales being the main one. And again, we had a conversation with Central at the point in time when we were moving before, or right around the time before we moved forward with the actual purchase of that equipment, as to whether or not we had their blessing because we have fund balance and because capital projects were also not going to be as high as we budgeted, which is true generally, right? It's a thing that we're trying to fine-tune citywide. And so you see that we budgeted one, sorry, $11.1 million in Los Reales engineering and operations, and we're forecasting that 4.7, largely due to $3 million additional dollars for equipment over at Los Reales. And then the other side of that is we have the $19.5 million budgeted in administration, sorry, and also in capital, $9.2 million budgeted in capital improvement projects, and we're only really expecting to see 2.85, which is true what we saw in the other iteration of the same information as well. So largely in line with budget. Some of these are by design, right? We talked at another meeting about Tucson Clean and Beautiful. It's really one payment that we make a year plus postage throughout the year. And so we know that that one's going to what to budget there, and we hit it pretty closely, or we get pretty close to that mark rather. Customer support and billing, we're going to go a little bit over this fiscal year over what we had budgeted. And then we have other areas like recycling and waste reduction, where we budgeted $1.7 million, but right now we're projecting to be at around $1.4 million, 1.389. Other areas, environmental compliance and data management, where we are projecting to come in under. We budgeted 1.2, but are looking to come in at around $967,000. Los Reales, we spoke about that 3 million being largely for that capital outlay, the equipment. Plastic waste, this projection is actually probably high. We'll likely come in under that 400,000, closer to in alignment with what we saw prior fiscal year. And then same with household hazard waste, will come in over what we saw last fiscal year, very close to what we budgeted. Ops and maintenance, we're looking to come in a little bit under. 1.6 is what we had budgeted. 1.4 is where we're looking to come in under. We're not coming in under by 1.4, I'm sorry. We're coming in at 1.4. about $150,000 under for the pump and treatment system over at Silver Bell. We're looking to come in at or around the budgeted amount as well. Residential collection, like Los Reales, will exceed that. As we saw in the other view, it's not due to wages, salaries, wages, and benefits. It's largely due to the vehicles that have come in and that we have paid for. Russian Bulky, we're looking to come in under budget by nearly $1 million. Commercial collections will come in right at around what we had budgeted. 5.7 is what we had budgeted. We're projecting to come in at 5.5. And then for container maintenance, we'll be a little bit over budget, but not by much. Again, this is reflecting the same information that we reflected in the other sheet. We're currently at $59 million, $59.4 million of actuals. We're projecting to come in at somewhere around 7.2, which is $3 million under budget on the expense side. For the grants and for graffiti abatement will come in pretty close to on budget. And then for the grants, we have seen more spending than last year because we didn't see any last year. But we're just now kind of picking up traction on those EPA, sorry, USDA awards. The compost waste reduction award. So as we gear up, the reason why this is at 80, by the way, when we're only showing 10,600 currently, is there are a large portion of that award is some of the employees' time, and we'll need to do payroll accounting adjustments to put the grant tag on those award on that time. So that will get us near that $80,000 mark by the end of the fiscal year. Other than that, what has posted there are the dollars for the agreements largely that we have with TUSD and Iskashita. But that's this other more programmatic view of the data. I don't know what questions we have.
Why did the brush and bulky come in so much lower? Like over $1 million.
That is a good question, and I'll have to do a deeper dive into that. I guess what I'll immediately note is that it's in alignment with historical. In other words, we saw 5.9 million in fiscal year 24 actuals. We saw 5.1 million in fiscal year 25. You split the difference and you get pretty close to where we're landing at this fiscal year. It is, or one of the contributing factors could be capital outlay as well, though we don't see the same price tags for the trucks that do brush and bulky, right? That we do for the CNG large trucks and side loaders and front loaders that we see for residential and commercial. So that's a piece of it, but I'm sure it's not the whole answer, so let me get you a better answer, and I'll report back to the group.
Okay.
Is the study they did for the on demand for the two areas? I think one was 19. What was the other one?
25.
25. Okay. Was there a cost for that would be included?
I am sure there was a cost, as everything
For the
comes with
brush
a
and
cost.
bulky? Okay.
But I don't know where it posted to. It could have, I'll look at that and I'll get a response as well, either while we're still at this meeting in the chat. If not, I'll get it to Brittany and Nadia and have it sent out to the group, the committee rather, and let you know where that posted to. It could have posted to admin, or it could have posted anywhere else, right? Not anywhere else, but brush and bulky.
Okay.
But I'll get you a good answer.
Okay, just curious.
Sure. Did I give them enough time to make it to the meeting?
I don't know.
No, but I have Frank on to do the biofusion report.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well,
Okay.
and I'm sorry, I didn't ask. Does anyone have any other questions or anything else I can get either respond to now or get back to the committee on? Okay. I'll start doing some research right now and see if I can get some answers quickly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a big report. All right. So Frank, there. Okay. So you're going to give us an update on bifusion.
Frank was off today, so he is kind of got thrown into it. So he let me make sure.
Thank you, Frank.
Brittany, were you going to do your updates first or not?
I don't want to make you wait any longer. We haven't.
I have time. I'm a passenger in a car.
Oh, okay. So,
Okay.
if we want to give Pat and Carlos a little more time, if we want to do the subcommittee waste diversion updates.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Let's go. Okay, so let's skip to item five for the subcommittee reports, appointments, meeting dates, and assignments. And Trevor, I want to make sure you include the dorm rummage sale that's going to be going on. Great publicity.
I have a link copied. Let me make sure it's the right link.
It's been on the news.
Yes, it's been on a lot of news. This is a U of A link, but it takes you to all the same information. But you can also do a quick Google and find all the same stuff. But yes, the first sale is this weekend. Starts at 8 a.m., goes to 5 p.m. This weekend is primarily dorm move-out items diverted from students who are moving out of the dorms this week. I think Saturday is pennies on the dollar, and Sunday is everything that is left will be free. I have no idea what to expect in terms of how chaotic it will be. If it has been 8 years since we did a rummage
It has.
sale, and going back to 2018, there were very long lines and it will be very hot. This is also a different location from when we previously held the rummage sales. So those used to be at the 34th Street Surplus Warehouse that the university operates. This is down on Eisenhower Road, kind of close to the airport, and is operated with our community partner. If you plan on going, plan on waiting and bring some water and probably some shade. Next weekend will be dorm furniture. We have a number of dorms that are getting refreshed furniture and the excess furniture that we did not donate to some partners will be up for sale. Same situation, pennies on the dollar Saturday the 23rd, and then I believe free on the 24th. Lots of stuff, lots of good stuff. Please do share the link and or the news, whatever, with anyone in your network who might be interested.
Are you going to be there,
How's it going
Trevor?
overall?
Say that again, Fred.
Are you going to be there?
I will not be there. We have some great people who are putting things together, and I have not been very involved with that. My team is finishing up doing some non-perishable food collections on campus in the morning, and I may be helping with that, but I will not be at the sales.
And how is it going this year? Are people having the same problems of not putting it in the right places or?
I have not actually heard very much at all.
Okay.
We have as of this morning, we have actually only had about half of our students move out, which is kind of
Okay.
scary because everyone is supposed to be out by, I think, 12 or 1 o'clock tomorrow. So we have a
Oh, wow.
large number of students who were not moving out until the very last minute. So it's kind of hard to tell because I don't think that that has happened before. I would expect that we will have some of the same issues that we've had in previous years coming up with students not putting things in the right places. But hopefully, with the new arrangement that we have this year with ACE Recycling and them taking just about anything and everything that is not broken or otherwise unusable, we will see a greater amount of diversion than we've seen in the past. But we'll hopefully have those numbers in the next few weeks.
Good. Okay, so back to the meeting.
Back to the meeting. Do we want me to give updates on last week's subcommittee meeting now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks.
Okay, we heard from Pat that everything related to the fee increases were submitted to Mayor and Council. I believe there was a public hearing and vote this week. I did not actually hear anything about that.
No.
Okay. Nonetheless, the proposed rates did not change since the last time that we saw them. For the most part, the only change was that the clean city fee to support graffiti abatement, homeless camp cleanups, those sorts of things, was reduced slightly down to $3. And then they're also looking at getting some other fees updated. And Pat provided the sort of reinforced change to brush and bulky on demand, which is just keeping that on hold. They're also going to put the pilot for 19 and 25 on hold as well to just refine logistics and take a look at things before. Going back to mayor and council to see if it's something that we want to expand more broadly. And if we do, that will be in January of 2028. Waste diversion, the MRF report, there weren't really many major changes other than contamination did increase in our last audit from 16.8% up to 19.4%. And interestingly, the cost of recycled glass went down a little bit. Everything else was sort of up and down with what we would normally expect month to month. On landfill and compliance, Frank let us know that we rented a grinder to grind down all the landscaping waste that we've been collecting and had that on site for about a month. Costs about $65,000 to rent that for a month, but they ground 3,000 cubic yards for the compost operation and over 5,000 for mulch for erosion control on the landfill. And there was also some distribution of that material to community gardens around the city. We also recently completed a study on the life of the landfill. They do an aerial flyover to see how much waste we put in place. So they're doing sort of measurements of elevation of the waste in various cells. And that study sort of showed that we are doing fairly well in the level of compaction that we're doing of the waste that goes into the landfill. We're sort of in the upper level of where similar landfills are at. You can get a compaction rate of about eight up to 1,800 pounds per cubic yard. And we were right around 1,412. And we're trying to increase up to about 1,500. The more waste that we can squeeze into the same volume, the longer that the landfill will last. Given the study, though, we're looking at about 44 years of life for the current cells we have, not what we have sort of set aside for. We have additional land that is not yet permitted that we can grow into as needed in the future, but what we currently have permitted, we have 44 years left. And let's see, then on to collections. Waste and Recycler Workers Week is coming up the week of June 15th. And then we got some updates on recruitment for operators and workers, continuing to just do interviews, hiring. It takes about 3 to 5 months to hire, and they're sort of continuous openings based on. Just regular turnover with retirements, and people coming in and out. We also got a brief update on the Old Pueblo Community Service homeless program, work program. There are three crews with 7 to 8 personnel that source those personnel from folks who are experiencing homelessness. We did get an update email, and I don't remember the numbers from it, but I think they can work up to 15 hours. I'm not even going to try to pull numbers out. They get paid $15 an hour for a small number of hours. They can't go over a certain number of hours in a year without getting into tax issues. And Nadia or Brittany put the information in the chat. So yeah, workers get paid $15 an hour, maximum of 75 hours a week, and cannot exceed $585 a year. They do also get physicals in order to work on that crew. Then on public outreach, we got some updates on Team Up to Clean Up. The program itself has expanded very rapidly from when it started in 2023. Just some numbers: in 2023, we had 74 events, and in 2025, last year, they had 445. And then in labor hours, they went from 3,477 labor hours up to over 12,000 labor hours. So the program has expanded a ton and is doing really, really well. And then that was it on my notes, it looks like. Any questions?
And I think will the recording be up from our meeting? Like if others in full ESAC would want to listen to that?
Yes, it will be uploaded.
Okay. All right. Hi, Carlos. We've been waiting for you.
Sorry about that. How are you guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
We're
Good,
well.
thank you. Do you want me to go over my reports? We're ready.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Or should we do Frank? I'm sorry.
No.
Since Carlos is here, he can give the bifusion report. I only had Frank on as a just in case.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Frank doesn't have to say anything. All right, thank you. All right, you're good, Carlos. Sorry.
Okay, so there was two items. One of them was essentially the fuel, related to the fuel. I apologize because I don't have all the information really to provide you, but let me
Okay.
just kind of give you a very general overview. And in terms of, first of all, is where does that fuel supply come from? So it comes from fuel, liquid fuel comes from Texas, primarily from the refinery or the distributor up in El Paso, and then it's transferred over to us here in Tucson, and that's the liquid fuels. As it relates to the compressed natural gas or natural gas, it comes out of the Permian Basin in Texas, kind of mid Texas. We even though fuel costs have gone up, we essentially have not made any adjustments to the fuel surcharge. Reason being is it's very difficult. It's not impossible, but it really takes some effort really to make a distinction between our fleet, CNG fleet versus our diesel fleet. Most of our fleet is essentially is CNG fleet, commercial, residential. It's all CNG. So to do the math and do the comparison on what would it be, what is the effect of really instituting the fuel surcharge for diesel, we just haven't got the ability to calculate. And again, it hasn't been a major focus for us because most of our fleet is CNG fleet. Okay. So that's what we and the other thing that we really have not been proactively looking at that is we didn't want to really start making those adjustments if are warranted, knowing that we're going through a rate review or rate adjustment process. So I didn't want to really just create a lot of confusion in terms of those adjustments in prior to the possible rate adjustments that could be adopted by the council later on next week. So that can we look at it? Can we start calculating what those fees are? We can, but I don't think would really materialize into a significant amount of dollars, given the fact that most of our fleet is CNG fleet, and this the surcharge is really mostly related to liquid fuels. We have not seen an impact on increased CNG or natural gas pricing because those are essentially secured through long-term contracts. So essentially that price has not fluctuated as it relates to CNG. So it really has not created an impact to the department as we speak. So kind of doing the math of really liquid fuels, should we really can review and institute the surcharge, what that amount would be? It's really it can again it can represent some numbers, but with given that small number of vehicles that we still operate on diesel, I don't think it's going to really relate it and bring a whole lot of revenue, and it's going to be difficult really to impose that fee, knowing that we're spreading that, we're applying that fee or that surcharge to a lot of the customers, that most of those customers are being serviced by a CNG truck. So that's why we really just haven't really pursued that because of our ability really just to calculate those figures, and then the code, it we need to apply that surcharge across the board, and that's why I think we don't think we have all the numbers in place to be able to calculate those numbers, and then how do you apply that fee across the board, knowing that most of our trucks are CNG trucks. So I don't know if I'm making sense or if there's any questions or comments so far.
Question. So, is the diesel primarily in the pickup trucks that are support vehicles, or is it also in the big, bulldozers and heavy equipment that's at the landfill?
So, Ms. Margo, too, glad you brought that up. So from a commercial or from collection perspective, I would say maybe two or three commercial front load trucks are still diesel trucks, as compared to the fleet of 15, 10 to 15 front load trucks, and most of those, I would say at least 10 to 12 of those are CNG. So if we are factoring in the cost of the surcharge for those three vehicles, that's where I think it's we just haven't got the data really to calculate that. And then if we calculate that, applying the surcharge across the board to all the customers, knowing that all those residential or commercial customers are 80% of them are serviced through a CNG truck. And if we are haven't seen the adjustments to the natural gas, then it's difficult for us to impose that fee if we have not been affected or used those parameters to calculate the surcharge.
Very good. Okay.
Okay. The and to your point as well, as it relates to the we have not seen a surcharge fee as it relates to landfill equipment. What we have seen though is an increase of the cost per gallon for red diesel. So red diesel is used on off-road equipment, agricultural fisheries or boats that do fishing, and agricultural equipment and landfill equipment that is off the road. It's essentially it's a different type of diesel. We have seen an increase of red diesel early January, February. The cost was around $2.46, and now that cost is somewhere around $5.50. So it really has increased to roughly $3 a gallon. I didn't have a chance really to calculate what the net effect of that impact has been to the landfill, because we just get a monthly charge for the red diesel. We, the city, don't purchase that red diesel. It automatically is serviced or is provided to us by Empire Machinery, who are the ones that essentially maintain our landfill equipment at the landfill. So every night, once we shut down the facility or the landfill, Caterpillar comes on site, provides the day-to-day maintenance of that equipment, gets it ready for the following day, and part of their duties and responsibilities is to ensure that those units are completely fueled up. And they're not fueled up by a typical diesel, it's really fueled up by the red diesel. So that's the only thing that we have captured in terms of really the cost of that increase. And so when you look at that difference of the cost, then certainly we can calculate what that amount is to see if we can apply the surcharge. But again, we don't have the support staff from a financial perspective to start digging that up and making those adjustments. And even if we did right now, the essentially confusing that adjustment or that fee with the fees, and that's why we just haven't done that.
Okay, well, as long as it's not a problem,
I was going to
we
say,
should fix it.
yeah. Is Carlos, red diesel, is that just not include road tax? Is that the difference between that and like regular diesel?
Primarily,
Thanks.
yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
It's also used as a heating oil. It can get red
Right.
for
Yeah.
heating.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other update was on Bifusion, related to the Bifusion building. There was a final walkthrough from BFL, who's the general contractor, and his subcontractors last week. They're getting things finalized. There we're looking that we would be in a position really for the city to obtain the final certificate of occupancy by the end of the month. We got power to the site about 2 weeks ago, so everything is moving along. We are scheduling some meetings with Heidi from Bifusion, really just to work out the logistics about moving the bales from Freedman to Los Reales, and really just be able to be in an opportunity really to transfer the building over to her, so she can start connecting and installing the equipment. We are working with them on two permits. One is the air quality permit, because we're within the landfill facility. We have an air quality permit. They're asking us really to get more clarity in terms of their vapor emissions once the facility is up and running. So that's something that we are working with them on that. And also the other thing is they're discharging their excess water. Once they produce essentially the blocks, it's going to go into a sump, but we still need to clarify that that's still eligible and not really. We're going to pump that tank. The plan was to pump that tank and commingle it with our normal leachate. That was our plan. We just need to file for an exemption to make sure that we can do that. So that's part of the permit process that we're going through. So we're working with them on that. Still, the goal is really trying to make sure that we have all of our ducks in a row to really be up and running July 1st, late June timeframe. So everything's moving along. We continue to work with the real estate office really to formalize and develop a lease agreement. We don't necessarily need that for them to operate, but we believe it's good for us to have that long-term lease that is really just it moves from just a general program agreement to really having a private company operate within the landfill for diversion purposes. So again, the goal is still to be operating by the first part of July. So that's where we're at.
Hey, Carlos, this is Chuck. One quick question. When you say it gets mixed with the leachate, what's the ultimate home for that water then?
So what we typically do is we take it up to the top of the landfill. We
Okay.
essentially create a trench, and we essentially drain that leachate into that trench, let it evaporate. Some of it sinks into the landfill itself. Sometimes we circulate it, and some of it evaporates
Okay, so it's just contained
within the lime
within the.
portion, right? Within the lime portion of the landfill. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay,
Yes.
thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Carlos?
Hooray.
When's the
So the
ribbon cutting?
bifusion.
Well, how long is it going to take them to be operational? Is there
There you go.
equipment just plug and play, or do they have to build it out?
So they got to make some connections. They got to make some electrical connections, some mechanical connections. Again, we're hoping to turn that over, the building over to them. They already are in the building. They're already making arrangements or making connections. The goal is really for them to be fully operational by July. Okay, that's really the goal. We all know things can change. There's stuff but that's really the mutual goal between Bifusion and the city is for them to be, as July 1st, there should be in a position to fabricate those blocks.
So once they get going, are we still going to have to get those orange bags and take them to these central, places to throw
So
them?
those are discussions that we still need to
No
have, and that's a pending discussion. There is value to continue to use the have to renew bags because we know we're limited in terms of the structural capabilities. So to hold material on those bags, they're easily identifiable, and they can be processed much easier using that bag. As the material evolves and as the operation evolves and as bifusion is more in a more normalized operation, we still want to provide some establish some limits in terms of what is acceptable material, what isn't. And that's something that down the road, I think we'll take a look at it. And what do I mean by that? That we may not require really a have to renew bag. We may just require some sort of a clear bag that identifies that it's not a dead dog, or it's not a car part. It's really just
Plastic.
plastics. Right. So those are the things that we're going to work through with Bifusion and with have to renew to make sure to see what we can do, because we may come to the point, hopefully that's not the case, where we come to the point that maybe Bifusion has the ability to process plastics, but they may have a stockpile of blocks that they're waiting really to put on the market. Still, essentially the plastic is coming through. They may not want to invest money into manufacturing more blocks if they don't have an end taker. And at that point in time, maybe the substitute end taker would be have to renew. And if that is, then it has to be, we have to use those bags. So there's a lot of this stuff that needs to be looked at to make sure that all of us are in the same sheet of music. The city is still going to continue to provide those roll-offs, still continue to service those roll-offs. The only difference that we will do in terms of what we're doing today, those roll-offs, we get them serviced. We take them to Los Reales. We empty that roll off. We essentially take we separate the orange bags from all the other stuff that is not easily identifiable, that doesn't meet the have to renew parameters. That material is landfill. The bags are essentially then loaded up to a truck. We send those bags to Freedman. Freedman bales that plastic. They store it, and then ultimately those bales will make their way to Los Reales to the Bifusion building so they can be processed. So the only difference would be is that instead of dumping and segregating those bags, once Bifusion is up and running, we'll dump that material at the Bifusion facility and then we'll process all that material.
So then it won't get pellet. What's it getting now? Compressed? It won't get compressed then. It'll just skip that step.
Right, it would skip that step, right? It would go from dump material to process material and turn that into a block.
Do you have any idea, Carlos? And I'm looking for just rough ballpark kind of numbers. How much, because we've stored quite a bit of this material. And by we, I mean the global Tucson City, we. And how many days of production that would be for Bifusion at scale? Do we have any concept of how much inventory we're holding for them? Or I
So,
shouldn't say it that way, but I just want to understand.
sure. So the machine that they're scheduling to deploy has the capabilities of 200 tons per month. Right now, in storage, we have roughly about 130 tons of material in storage. So
Okay. Okay.
there's plenty of, I would say, capacity to process the materials that we have at hand.
Thank you. I was just fearful we might have 5 years worth or something. Thanks.
It seems like it.
I don't, I just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Well, if they can really process that much, will they be looking for materials from elsewhere? Because we're not going to produce 200 tons a month.
That's their goal. The goal is really for them to start offering services to the different, I would say, companies. So one of them would be that I know they've been talking to is Costco. Costco is very interested in really diverting all the plastic material, films and stuff that they don't have a way to recycle. So they've been in contact with them to be able to offer that specific service to them, whether they go out there and collect it, whether Costco will essentially sample the material, put it in toters, and then Bifusion will and or Costco will deliver them to the Bifusion facility, or Bifusion through the services will collect the plastic and pick it up and get and take it to their facility. But one of the things that all that we got to keep in mind, so from a Bifusion perspective, they have to have a very non-homogeneous material, so that way the material can blend in and can essentially can go ahead and adhere to itself, because everything is the same. The machine that doesn't have no capabilities really to press it and be able to generate and produce a block with just a very homogeneous material. And I think there's going to be some limitations. And again, I'm just throwing my two cents on that, is it may be some limitations because that machine is more intended to deal with residential waste as compared to industrial waste. So I think they're gonna have to develop some sort of a plastic pancake mix so they can mix some residential with some industrial. But if it's all industrial, I think the machine is not set up really to process big sheets of plastic that you typically see when you try
On
to
the job.
secure a pallet or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I was thinking also of other communities. I mean, like Bisbee or Sierra Vista or Nogales or some of those, because I know there's also a plastic recycling firm getting set up, what, in Eloy or Gilbert or someplace up there.
Any like
Eloy. So, that's going to be in competition with these folks.
That's correct. I think what they're trying to differentiate themselves into is really not be so the facility is being built in Eloy. It's a pyrolysis machinery,
Okay.
and that's what a lot of folks are not really interested in, what they call chemical recycling or pyrolysis. And that's what the council told us. We're not interested in doing that, and so that's why Bifusion became to be the alternative for dealing with plastic film.
Okay. Good. Good. Good understanding. Okay.
Carlos, one quick question, and if I need to reach out to somebody, let me know. Will they be able to take vinyl banners?
I don't know, Trevor. To be honest with you, I don't know, and I think that's I can we can find out and see if they would if there would be taking that type of material.
Okay. Again, it also it feeds directly into what you were just saying, but whether it's billboards or like I've had folks reach out to me about old banners that line like the streets around the university, it would be good to know if they can. I'm sure we very quickly get into a volume problem as with the industrial users as well.
Okay. We'll check.
Okay. So, I think we
Thank you.
got your presentation was great. Thank you, Carlos.
Yes. Exciting.
We learned a lot. Oh yeah, it's just so great to hear this happening. Jeez.
When is the ribbon cutting?
Yeah, I would.
I would venture to say probably late August, early
Good.
September.
Good.
Okay.
I'll be back.
All right. Maybe a little cooler, but probably not. All right. So let's move on to item six for future agenda items. Anyone?
Carlos, when's it appropriate to get more a little bit more information on your plan for the EPA follow-up? Is that
EPA.
next meeting or is that we two out from that?
No, I think we're good. I think we could certainly provide an update, more of a detailed update at the next meeting. Yes, regarding the Los Reyes landfill gas system. Yes.
Yep. Perfect.
Anyone else? Okay. We'll get that one. All right. Here we are towards the end of the meeting. For item seven, I don't think we have a call to the audience. And we'll move on to adjournment. See what time it is. 5:19. So we are adjourned. Sorry. Okay.
Thanks,
Thank
everyone.
you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
We are
Thanks,
adjourned.
everybody. You guys take care.
Thank you.
Appreciate all your time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.